Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once more. So me doing a video in daylight, you don't see that very often. Anyway, so this is going back to Armenia, Yermenia, that small country in the Caucasus Mountains, once mighty in ancient times, the first officially Christian country in the world. So it's publicly mulling whether it's going to ratify the Rome Statute, which established the International Criminal Court, which sits in The Hague, not to be confused the International Court of Justice, the International Criminal Court, the one that issued an arrest warrant for one Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin on suspicion of the kidnapping of thousands of Ukrainian children and their conduction across an international frontier without parental consent, which is a war crime. So would Mr. Putin be rash enough to visit any country that seceded to the ICC, then that sovereign state would be obliged to arrest him and extradite him to The Hague to stand trial for this crime, which is notably why President Putin did not visit the Republic of South Africa for the BRICS summit a few months ago. So Armenia has been in the orbit of Russia for centuries, part of the Russian Empire. It's got a unique language. It's got its sui generis alphabet and so on. It's got its own autocephalous church. It was a Soviet republic, became independent in 1991. They fought the Azerbaijanis on and off. And of course, its territories waxed and waned over the centuries as that has of any other country. But one time its suzerainty stretched from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean. But of course, it's a very much truncated Armenia today. Only 3 million Armenians hold out in their mountain fastness, a fairly craggy, infertile country, bereft of all mineral resources. So not wealthy at all. But there's a very significant Armenian diaspora, particularly in the United States, where their number is not even 1% of the population, but they do have sway beyond their numbers, particularly concentrated in California. The Ian suffix is part of the name, like Gavorkian or Sarkissian or Agassian. Andre Agassi, the tennis player, is really Agassian. But going on, so Yerevan might join the ICC, and Russia's lobbied very hard against that. Dmitry Peskov, who's Putin's press spokesman, said it would be a deeply unfriendly act. Now, Russia's a signatory to the Rome Statute of the ICC, but never ratified it. Dozens of other countries haven't ratified it. Ukraine hasn't, the United States, Israel, India, Pakistan, China, about half the African countries, most Middle Eastern countries haven't. The ones outside are the ones who at least need to sign it, like Republic of Ireland, because we're very humane. Almost the whole of Latin America, everyone in Western Europe really have signed up to it. So anyway, there have been noisy protests outside the Russian embassy in Yerevan, because some of them are saying, you know, Russia's failed to honor its promises to us pursuant to the Collective Security Treaty. Remember, Armenia and Russia, both part of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. The last time that kicked in was January 2022, just before the war in Ukraine began, when there are demonstrations in Kazakhstan over oil price hikes, over peculation, over the exploitation of the masses, and hundreds of people were shot dead, unarmed by the government. And there was a completely bogus accusation by the Tokayev regime that tens of thousands of armed terrorists had suddenly appeared on the streets of Almaty and then vanished as quickly as possible, providing no evidence whatsoever. And they came in, they guarded various installations, troops from all six CSTO countries, the five others, leaving the Kazakh security forces free to butcher their own civilians. But this is Russia's pathetically puny answer to NATO. So some Armenians are still pro-Moscow, and some have been vocalizing their condolences to five Russian peacekeepers who were killed by Azerbaijan on the 21st of September. The Azeris say it was a case of mistaken identity, which I think it was. They wouldn't be rash enough to provoke Russia. There's no gain in it for them. And one of them has been actually quite a senior naval commander, but in charge of soldiers, not sailors there, because, of course, Armenia's landlocked. So there are those in Armenia who lay the blame at Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan's door and say the Prime Minister of Armenia, since he took over 5 years ago, has not been sufficiently pro-Russia and were to pursue a more pro-Moscow line, then help with more forthcoming. But this is a rather specious line of reasoning on the ground that Russia's very much got its hands full, is preoccupied with the attempt to subjugate Ukraine and to crush the life out of a free society there. They can't possibly tolerate that democracy, because then some Russians were saying, well, why can't we be free in our country too? They say, were we to be more helpful to Russia if we were really za Rodina, then they would help us. But Russia just doesn't have the capacity or the attention span or their eyes on Ukraine. They don't have the spare weaponry to sell to the Armenians, and that's it. And as for sort of diplomatic clout, they're not going to wield it in Armenia's favor. They need it all themselves. But there are worries that were Armenia to withdraw from the CSTO, as Pashinyan is suggesting it might, then Armenia could absolutely be smashed. Baku started describing Armenia as West Azerbaijan and might essay to conquer the entire country. And I've heard Azerbaijani say this. I've seen maps that is disputable with Armenia, all the land up to it, even including Yerevan and so on. So Moscow says the United States and the European Union are behind attempts to inveigle Yerevan to withdraw from the CSTO. And there may be more than a grain of truth in that suggestion. So there's an avocation of fulsomely pro-Russia policy being the right one to pursue. No one's actually suggested acceding to the Russian Federation, though. So Russia mediated that ceasefire on the 21st of December. And people in Armenia have been fulminating that they've been very badly let down by their so-called Russian brothers, who did not intervene to aid Armenia. But Moscow has always maintained it shall only defend Armenian sovereign territory, Armenia proper, not Nagorno-Karabakh, because that region is internationally recognized as Azeri. But this is partly bogus because, of course, Azerbaijan did attack some of Armenia proper. There are maybe 2,000 Russian peacekeepers there, actually, before the Ukraine war. Some of them have been withdrawn. They tend to be quite old, quite badly equipped, real third raters, because Russia can't spare any good troops. Every good soldier it has, they have to send to the meat grinder of Ukraine. So some Armenians are unsurprisingly rancorously disillusioned with Russia. They've been very disappointed. Armenia was the most pro-Russian former Soviet republic, with the single exception of Belarus. But Armenia, they desperately needed Russian succor for economic support. Obviously, they're Armenian guest workers there, and to buy weapons on the cheap, because Russian weapons, they're not terribly good, but they are affordable. They're the cheapest on the market, which is why they sell well, particularly to less economically developed countries. And Armenia is not affluent and cannot afford more expensive weapon systems, whereas Azerbaijan can. Outnumbers in population 3-1, economically about 10-1. Doesn't mean the average Azerbaijani is well off. It's almost all creamed off by the Aliyev crime family and its cronies. So Russia is unable and or unwilling to provide either economic support or to sell more arms to the Armenians. And plus, they really do not want to hurt Baku. So there are almost 3 million people of Armenian stock in Russia. But often those are a fraction Armenian, half a quarter, even an eighth. And beyond that, they just blur into the general population. And they're quite widely accepted. So Nagorno-Karabakh is that region which is legally Azerbaijani, but until very recently had an almost exclusively Armenian population, partly because the Azerbaijanis fled for their lives in the early 90s. So there were 130,000 people there in Nagorno-Karabakh, you know, at the beginning of this month, and it's thought that at least 70,000 of them have fled. So Azerbaijan has taken full advantage of the Ukrainian war, and they gained decisively in Nagorno-Karabakh. And it looks like at this rate, there'll be no Armenians left in Nagorno-Karabakh by the end of the year. And Ruben Vardanyan, who was Minister of State of Nagorno-Karabakh, the Armenians effectively ruling it, he was arrested by the Azerbaijanis who tried to leave Nagorno-Karabakh and go back to Armenia proper. Incidentally, Armenia recognized Nagorno-Karabakh as the Republic of Artsakh. Armenia would be the only country in the world to recognize Artsakh as a sovereign state. Artsakh's flag was simply an adapted version of the Armenian flag. Incidentally, Artsakh is one letter away from the Armenian word for free. Anyway, there's this new National Democratic Alliance in Armenia, which is avowedly pro-Western, and their avocation is the country must cede to the European Union. Even they don't quite go so far as to say join NATO. So the NDA is demonstrating and chanting Russia is the enemy. But ironically, the only one of Armenia's neighbors that's supportive is Iran, not exactly a pro-Western government there. So Azerbaijan is very cognizant that Russia can ill afford to provoke them because, you know, their oil and gas is quite important. They're economically more important than Armenia and so on. They could host NATO bases or something like that. NATO's enemy is their enemy, Iran, and they're actually very friendly with Israel. One of the only Muslim countries which is very friendly with Israel. And Israel likes that as a listening post against Iran, gives them some strategic leverage. So Armenia's got little to offer. And that is the brutal fact of politics. And as like Napoleon said, a country's geography defines its politics. They've got nowhere else to go, the poor Armenians, because they're not strategically important, particularly their position. I mean, Turkey's got far bigger bases. Armenia's never going to get into NATO. No matter what happens, because Turkey's a member and Turkey would veto it, and Turkey's the sister nation of Azerbaijan. As they used to say, two states, one nation, as in Azerbaijan and Turkey. So Azerbaijan's oil and gas is vital to Western countries as they're trying to cut ties with Russia and starve the Russian bear of oil and gas revenues, particularly as we're coming into winter. So they can't afford to upset the Azerbaijanis, or they could reduce the oil and gas flow. I know that would be economically bad for Azerbaijan as well. But they think their people can suffer, whereas Western Europeans cannot, used to a soft, comfortable life. So there are a few brave voices who talk about Armenia one day seeking EU candidate member status, but that's years off. If it was to happen, it wouldn't happen for decades. Anyway, how would anyone get military aid to Armenia? There are very few countries willing to give it. It can't pass through Turkey, Iran, or Azerbaijan. I mean, Western countries, Turkey and Azerbaijan, enemies of Armenia. Iran is an anti-Western government. They're not going to allow NATO countries to ship military aid through them. That leaves one neighbor only, and that's Georgia. And its susceptibility to Russian pressure is clear. They've actually drawn closer to Russia recently, and they've got quite cordial relations, restored flights for the first time in a few years. They're doing actually quite well out of this war. Wealthy Russians going there to avoid the draft. In a poll in May 2023, 50% of Armenians said their country has got a good relationship with Russia. That's one of the highest in the world. But 50% is still the lowest figure it's ever been in Armenia, but even lower after this most recent bout of fighting. And had the Russians not mediated that ceasefire early this month, it would have ended even worse for the Armenians. So the Russians did nothing to interpose themselves between the two warring sides. Now, not to say that 50% are hostile to Russia, there'll obviously be some who are neutral. But this is worrying if Armenia breaks free of Moscow's orbit, which other satellite will go? In Belarus, obviously, only if Lukashenko is toppled. But I think Russia's just not going to allow that to happen, or try and replace him with another yes man. And would some of the other CSTO countries go? Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, they're very poor, but they're more in China's orbit than they are in Russia's. Kazakhstan is a possibility, and that would really be a big blow to Russia. Does Russia even have the wherewithal to threaten the Kazakhs now? So Russian TV has shown footage of Russian humanitarian aid being delivered to Nagorno-Karabakh, and local people expressing their gratitude. And I don't think that that's false, just depends how much aid. And obviously you'd be grateful to whoever gave you this food, considering you're almost starving. So Armenia could go either way, but could go more pro-Western, or there could be a Russian-backed coup to impose a regime that will really just make it a satrapy of Moscow, as Putin would like. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.